It's The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds, and we're talking a lot today about the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers' rejection of Boeing's offer of an 8-year contract extension. In its proposal, current employees would receive a pension freeze, and the pension plan would be eliminated for new hires. The plan they voted down would have raised health care premiums and co-pays, slowed new hires' ability to move up the pay scale, among other changes. There was a lot of pressure from local officials in the company, but they ended up rejecting it by a 2-to-1 margin. Joining us to look at the implications of this decision on labor here in the state and around the country is Gary Chasen, professor of industrial relations at Clark University in Worcester, Massachusetts. He researches union structure, collective bargaining, and international labor relations. Gary, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
The machinists got a lot of pressure to vote for this deal. There was speculation, oh, it's going to be a close vote. In the end, really lopsided. Do you have any idea why?
I think there are several factors here. I think probably the most important factor is that the machinists thought they were calling Boeing's bluff, and it remains to be seen over the next few days whether or not they have called Boeing's bluff. Boeing is threatening to move its expanding section of its production, its 777X jetliner, to South Carolina, where there's a lesser chance of it being unionized and costs, production costs would be lower because labor costs would be lower. And I think the workers in Seattle were voting to call their bluff and to see, if we reject this proposal of yours, what's going to happen next? And now it's up to Boeing to decide what's going to happen next.
Well, when you're playing poker, that sometimes there are rational reasons to try to call a bluff because of what you can see on the table. Was this a rational vote by the machinists to preserve their jobs?
No, there's nothing rational about this, because if you figure on what the changes would be in the contract extension, it was a long contract extension, and what the cost of having good manufacturing jobs lost would be, then definitely the workers should have voted for it. But this is a very emotional issue as well, because pensions are always difficult issues to deal with, because reducing or eliminating or freezing pensions is always tough, because it's something that's given to workers in the most difficult of times when they're retired. And also, there's a feeling, I believe, that two-tiered wage settlements that Boeing was asking for, in which newly hired workers get lesser benefits and wouldn't get the pension participation, okay, are something in which it's against what unions are for, and unions tend to reject those more frequently. I think there was a feeling that if they rejected Boeing's extreme demands, then Boeing would come in with a shopping list of other demands which would be lesser, because it would pay to continue operations in the Pacific Northwest, and the state was offering a lot of incentives to do so as well.
Now, the vote was by the local district 751 of the machinists. There's also the international machinists. Was there some division between these two units?
Yes, there was. The international, the local of the union was saying, it was giving mixed messages. On the one hand, it was saying, we should accept this and this could be reasonable and could be our future. And on the other hand, it was saying that this is something that should be rejected. Okay. The international union was against the proposal and then for it, and they kept changing their minds. There was really no clear-cut view of whether the international wanted this proposal or whether the local really wanted the proposal. And I think the membership, without a clear vote, without a clear sign that the national or local leadership endorsed the agreement, will vote against it. Okay, because voting for something that's not strongly endorsed is the equivalent of rejecting your union and your union's negotiators.
Well, is it unusual that the machinists would be on both sides of the issue at the local and international level?
Yes, it's very unusual to have mixed views in a union on the national and international level. But this is a very large local. They have several thousand members, and they feel as if they can get their own way, and that they are the closest to Boeing and understand Boeing the best. And while the international may say accept the agreement, okay, the local would believe that it's something that shouldn't be done because they would believe that they're more familiar with it.
Now, this was a contract extension that Boeing was asking for. The contract's still in place. Isn't that pretty unusual?
Yes, it's very unusual. It's very rare that an employer will ask for a contract extension. I think what it indicates is that Boeing thought that it could present something to, and I really strongly suspect that Boeing wanted its settlement to be rejected. So now it can go ahead and shift work towards South Carolina.
That Boeing wanted this outcome.
Yes, I think so. I think Boeing really wants this an outcome where it now has a reason for expanding operations in a non-union state and essentially escaping from the union in Seattle.
Well, and scapegoating the union.
And escaping from the union. That is, not having to deal with the labor union anymore, okay, and going to an area where there's a much lesser chance of becoming unionized.
Right. But I was also saying not only escaping, but scapegoating the union, being able to turn around and say, hey, it's not our fault. You could have accepted this extension. We would have been okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now they have a reason, a politically strong reason to say, well, we did our best. We made a proposal that would lower costs, and we have to deal in a global marketplace, and now we can move elsewhere, and we have a justification for that. They would definitely be scapegoating the union.
Gary Chasen is professor of industrial relations at Clark University. And, of course, the machinists, one of the biggest, most powerful remaining industrial unions in the country, if not the world. What does this impasse say about the future of labor at large in the country?
Well, it shows I think very clearly, not only the declining power of labor unions in terms of their size, where they've lost members over the years, but in terms of their bargaining power, but also I think the return of concessionary bargaining, where unions essentially take steps backwards, accept wage freezes, wage cuts, two-tiered wage systems, cuts in benefits, okay, in order to keep jobs. But the problem nowadays is, and this is something we saw in the 80s, the problem nowadays is that unions are often finding that they can agree to major concessions and still lose their jobs. There are no guarantees anymore at the bargaining table.
Gary, a little bit earlier at the beginning of our interview, you said possibly Boeing will come back to make some kind of a counteroffer to change this around and get the votes of the machinists. But do you think that's going to happen?
I don't know. If Boeing might just come back and present another offer to the machinists, but it remains to be seen. What I'm afraid is happening now is the parties may be digging in. That is, the union saying, okay, we have rejected Boeing's offer, and therefore we're standing solid on that, and we're going to tough it out with them. And Boeing saying, because we've committed to this being our offer, okay, we are not going to go down off of it. And both parties digging in, fighting it out, and jobs being lost.
Gary Chasen, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Gary Chasen, professor of industrial relations at Clark University, my alma mater. Marcy, it's great to talk to someone from my alma mater. I never get to do that.
No, and it was fascinating conversation. And this is like an unfolding drama. We'll be keeping you up to date both on the record and on our newscasts.